on page Kuf Yud, the last two lines of page Kuf Yud. And as we saw last week, the tzaddik here uses a lot of the Yiddish was kept. So we whenever we come to Yiddish, we go immediately to the footnote and read it in Lashon HaKodesh, so we don't have to translate it twice. And you know, and I hope to embarrass myself with breaking my teeth over reading the Yiddish. So let's continue. Yadum et tzaddikin, Amaral, Reb Nachman Breslover, Chiddush Arbim Vayid. Sha'olam zeh miloshon ha'olam, page Kuf Yud Aleph. The word olam, I'm sure many of you have heard this and seen this, that the word olam, world, is from the root of ne'elam, or ha'olam, that means missing. Something is not here, something is missing. Ha'olam, something is being concealed. Shemalim u'machasa ha'emes. And all the tzaddikim explain that the reason that the world is called olam is because the main point is concealed. In this world, in this life that we're living, the main tachlis is hidden from us. We don't see it. It's not something which is obvious to us. Which is what we were talking about last week. That the greatest Yetzirah that exists in our lives, particularly as we draw near, as we draw close to the end of time, the greatest Yetzirah is to make the Iker into Tafel and the Tafel into Iker. To make those things which are important seem insignificant, and those things that are insignificant, important. So he explains. The Chazal HaKadoshim Oymrim Sha'olam Hazeh Adam Lelaila. And in many places Chazal have taught us, and we see many Pesukim in Tanakh, that this world is compared to the night. Choshech Kofel Mechupel. Darkness, a very, very deep darkness. Ubefrat Be'ikvis of the Mashiach. And Chazal saw that, and if Tanakh described that so many years ago, that the world, that this world is compared to the night, it's so dark, it's so confusing, and they said that so many thousands of years ago when they had so much light in the world, but how much more so at the end of time, Be'ikvis the Mashiach. She says, Soif HaLayla, which Chazal have taught and explained that the darkest time of the night is that last moment before sunrise. Ayelos HaShachar. That's why the kapitel that Esther HaMalka said, and we know that the kapitel of Esther HaMalka is Ayelos HaShachar. And Ayelos HaShachar means, just like Esther's name means concealment. Haster Astir, concealment. And Esther HaMalka, of course, is the embodiment of the Jewish people in Golas, in Choshech, in a state of Hestapanim, of concealment, trying to reach out and find the Nekudas Emes, the point of truth. That's the Ayelos HaShachar, which is that last moment of the night, which is the darkest moment. And that the darkness is so powerful at that time. And the darkness covers and conceals the light of truth. One of the scary things of going during the night is medamim al ha'etz shehu adam v'al adam shehu etz, that a tree appears like a person and a person appears like a tree. Your eyes play tricks on you. I know I have this, there's a certain spot when I'm coming back to the mountains late at night and I go around a certain bend in one of these dark roads, it always looks to me like there's an animal standing there. And it's really a mailbox sticking out, but it looks to me like there's one of the animals that we're all afraid to hit, and it looks to me like there's an animal. And that's the nature of the concealment of night. During the night, things don't look the way they really are. And that's how it is in this world. Now go down and see in Yud Beis, in the Hebrew, that what happens to us in this choshech, in the choshech that we're in right now, is that we look at something, and it could be something which is a hevel, a davar shel mabekach, which means what? A narishkeit. Narishkeit, something which is not important, it's insignificant. And we think, now look in Yud Beis on the bottom, shezeh mashehu. We think that it's a mashehu, that it's something important, that it's something choshev. Kagon, for instance, she'odam echad amar lo mila. For instance, somebody said something to you. Ashenidme she'echad pogabi. Or you feel like somebody insulted you. Shenidme she'echad amar mila pogaz. You feel that somebody said something that was insulting. There was a word that was insulting, a mila pogaz. Ashahu loy amar li boket tov rochav karoy. Or you think that this person didn't give me a nice enough good morning. What's wrong? Why is she upset? Why is he upset with me? He didn't say good morning the way he usually does. Maybe he doesn't like me. Maybe she doesn't think highly of me. Maybe there's something that's wrong. And so on. Or the worst thing is, this person doesn't hold for me. This person doesn't hold for me. This person thinks little of me. Or things are not going the way that I want. What all these have in common, he's explaining with Sumaya, what all these have in common is that there's a yetzahara of halama to conceal what's important and to exaggerate that which is narishkeit. Just like at night, you think that a person's a tree and a tree is a person, so there could be a word, something that a person said or that the person didn't smile. It could be the reason that person didn't smile is because who knows what they have in their mind. They have something, this happens all the time. That some, you know, you go to somebody and say, you're upset at me? You're upset with me about something? I don't know what you're talking about. What are you talking about? Well, you know, 17 years ago on Tuesday, you know, when I said hi, you didn't smile. So the person says, 17 years old, that's when I heard some news about a friend of mine that was going through a hard time. It's always something like that. It's 99% of the time somebody's wrapped up in something. This happened to me so many times that I'm just thinking about something, and somebody will say, you were upset at me about it. And I wasn't upset about anything. I'm just thinking about something, and you could have a situation where a tree looks like a man and a man looks like a tree, meaning it's a davar shemabakach, it's a narishkeit, it's a kleinikeit, and the person thinks because of this world, which is a world of helam, of concealment and of confusion, that a person thinks that that's a big deal. Back on top, after 12, after Yud Beis. Vayit alofim uravavos dvarim ke'elu, after the Yiddish. And there are thousands and thousands like this things like this that happen in life. She'achalim ligvam chalishas adas v'agmas nefesh. And a person can walk around with all kinds of chalishas adas. A person feels upset and hurt, discouraged and insulted over narishkeit, over something that's mamish, either it doesn't exist, or if it does, it means nothing. And something tiny and insignificant take over you. Mamash can take over your mind and your heart. Back to downstairs to the Yiddish Yud Gimel, to the Hebrew. And let's say that person didn't hold from you so much. And let's say that person doesn't think you're the greatest person in the world. Well, let's say the person did say it or didn't say it. In Cain Haiduli Vikiru Taiva. So let's say you did somebody a taiva. You went out of your way and you did somebody a favor. And you thought that the person should have said, Aharzige Yeshakayach. The person should have said to you, thank you so much. You're so wonderful. I appreciate you. You know, you're Moshe Nefshakla Yisrael. And they didn't. You stayed behind after a simcha and you were cleaning up. In our shul, there's a tzaddikus that she goes around like with a towel, wiping the mechitzas, you know, every 2 weeks to clean things, and she never expects any yeshakayach. But you have a situation where in your heart, you think that you would think that someone would come over and say shkayach. We saw that you stayed around and you helped with the simcha afterwards, or you came early to prepare. And you wanted a little bit of hakaras hatov, which is, it's true, it's coming to you. And mitzad that person taka, or the Bali Simcha should have said to you, thank you. And there was something wrong if they didn't say thank you. But it could bend the person completely out of shape. That they were expecting yeshakayach. They were expecting some appreciation. Aloy haiduli. And they didn't thank me. He says, what does the neshama gain? Remember last week we were talking about that the biggest yetzahara is that a person forgets, why did I come b'chlal to the world? Why did Hashem Baruch create me? And if the answer is, and if one of the answers is to do good for other people, then really if a person thinks about it, and it's very hard, the greatest joy a person could have in the world is that no one saw you helping for the simcha. That would be the greatest joy you could have. Because then it's completely l'shem shamayim, that nobody knows that you did it. But instead, the Rebbe says over here, "My yeshul neshama shli mikol dvar meilo." What if the person doesn't thank me? So then what is my, whether the person thanks me or doesn't thank me, what does my neshama stand to gain by that? Or to lose by not being thanked? If they thanked me or not. If you look at life from the perspective of the truth, which is what, why did I come into this world and why was I created? If you remember that, then it's mamish, just the opposite. That your nisayin at that moment, when you wanted to be thanked and you expected to be thanked or to be appreciated and you weren't, that what? That really the nisayin is, are you going to be able to be strong, to be misgaber, misichim das, and to ignore it, just to forget about it and to go on with your life and to forget about this thing? And the real tachlis of your life is to see whether or not you're somebody who's able to what? To rise above all of these hakpadis, not to be a makpid. And that could be the reason why the person who's normally a nice person forgot to give you a simple thank you, a simple yashakaya. Because that person might be a kli, that's his own inyan, that's her inyan to work on to be a makyatay. But as far as you're concerned, if the person didn't say thank you, if the person didn't say thank you, then if you look at it from the perspective of what? Of the night, when that which is real is unreal, and that which is unreal is real, then you walk around being upset and hurt. And of course, you're embarrassed to say anything, because if you say something, it looks like you're expecting Hakar Sotav, and you're not supposed to expect Hakar Sotav. So instead you carry this with you, and you're hurt. But if you look at things from the perspective of Bishvil Ma'basi Lakan, that this is not it. This is not the tachlis, and the tachlis could be davke, that Hashem has brought, wanted me to learn a little bit of a lesson in humility. What is it like to do a taiva for someone and to be completely and totally unnoticed? Or when it comes to the case of one's own children, sometimes to be abused and to be hurt. I don't mean chashom in a serious way, but to be forgotten, to be ignored. You're doing a million taivas. Every single moment of your life is what? There's a taiva for this person, and you're not appreciated. And it can be the same thing that comes a husband and a wife. That at that moment of your life, the tachlis is what? Lahash, he says, Mashlich machutz is kolak peidus. From the perspective of what? Of the other world, of the panemius world. The nisayi now is, am I going to be able to throw away all of my this hakpada? Which is very hard. There's kolah hargosha shel dam lekav chayv. And what? And this hargosha, this feeling that you have to give, not to judge this person in a good way, but instead not to give this person the benefit of the doubt. That's the hardest nisayin for you right now. And mizeh zoichim laharviach nitzchius mamish. And if a person is able to be machshlich the hakpada, to throw away the kpeda. Like I once explained in shul, from another sikh of Rabbi Tzvi, where the whole davening of Rosh Yom Kippur, think about how, I once mentioned this here also 2 years ago, it's so interesting, if you think about it in the davening of Rosh Yom Kippur, everything is with the word uvechein, right? Uvechein yiskadish, uvechein tein pachter, uvechein sadikim, right? Uvechein. So he explained, what does it mean uvechein? Uvechein means, let it go. Uvechein. Uvechein means that the only way that one can truly accept Malchus Hashem is when a person is able to let go of all the kleinikait, to let go of all the hakpadis, to let go of all the narishkeit that we built up and made into such important things in our lives. And to be able to say, uvechein. Uvechein means, okay, no, so what is? So what? Back on top after the Yud-Gimel, after the Yiddish. And that's how a person, he says, achieves nitzchius. Fakir, when you connect to that godless, to that greatness of spirit, and you're able to what? To overcome that moment when you're being so drawn into tininess, and to akpadis, and to smallness, and to be dam lekav chayva, and all of that, if you're able to overcome that, that's the tachlis of why you were put into this world. That was the tachlis, that's your avoider for that moment. But that's the koyach of this world that's compared to the night. That it could be the tiniest little thing. And you feel what? A sizapis. Sizapis. You feel this is something important. This is something important. And it's not. But you think that it is. That's the confusion of this world. It's not. And he's going to explain. And then when it comes to things that are really, really important, that's the night. When the things that are really chashuv, they're not so choshev. Then they become not so choshev. And that's what we were talking about a little bit last week when it comes to Shidduchim. We're living in such an Olam Chashuch that the things, what make a person really Chashuch, and what's a real, you know, when it comes, let's say, to Midas Taivas, if someone tells you this person's a Gevaldige Balas Midas, a Gevaldige Bal Midas, a Gutzkai, whatever, you hear these kind of things, and when those Emistike, Pnimistike things, which of course make a Jewish home, Midas Taivas, when those become less important than other things that are just chitzaynis, that are external, or that are not as meaningful, so then we're falling into that trap. We're falling into that mistake. Chazal have called this world an alma de shikr, world of falsehood. That means that things of this world are covering and concealing this truth, the truth. What's the important thing and what's the unimportant thing? What is something which should be a passing thing, and what is something which should be kavu, something which is should be permanent and fixed in our lives? It says in the Zohar. Now that's not Yiddish, that's Aramaic. The Ozel Inish Bahai Alma, that people go in this world, the Choshev Dilehi, and they think, they imagine that this world belongs to them, L'dore Dore, for generation after generation. They think the world is theirs forever. Like Rabbi Nachman Breslov was once standing by the window, and he saw there was a Yid, whatever, Yankel, was running, and it was a Monday morning, and it was business, and Reb Nachman Breslov called him to come in, and he was very nervous. What are you going to do? The Rebbe called him in, he comes in, and Reb Nachman says to him, Yankel, have you life to Yankel? You know, what are you running, Yankel? What's the matter? So Yankel says, Rebbe, Parnassa. So Reb Nachman asked him, tell me, Yankel, did you have a chance today so far to look up at the Shemayim? Did you have a chance to look at Shemayim? He says, no, Rabbi, I didn't have a chance. So he says, look, what do you see outside at the window? So Yankel says, I see the Seichrim, the merchants, I see the horses. So Nachman Breslov said, listen, 50 years from now, those Seichrim are not going to be here, and the horses are not. There'll be different horses, there'll be different Seichrim. I'm not going to be here, you're not going to be here. But the Shemayim is still going to be here. Why don't you take 5 minutes to look at Shemayim? That's the halom of this world. That happens, that's the concealment of this world. When it comes, and this is something that as parents, those of us who are zeichet to have children and grandchildren, as parents and grandparents, it's so hard to remember the tachlis of what's important in life, and to be able to enjoy the children, to be able to see the children, and to spend time with the children and with family and so on. It's very hard. And the halama that comes when a person looks back, and it's the most horrible thing to look back over one's life and to say, especially when it comes to many of the men that they have to spend so many hours out at work. Nowadays, a lot of the women are also going to work to make ends meet. But that a person looks back and he says, "Gevalt, you know, what was my whole life? What did I have my whole life? I had 2 weeks out of the entire year vacation to spend with the family. During that time, there was mostly tension and all kinds of aggravation. So what was the tachlis? What's the tachlis? And what's all the tefillas? And what about all the learning? What about all the davening?" So down below in the Yiddish and the Hebrew, He says, Sherei im yishalu adam normali. If you ask a normal person, where it says Tesvav down underneath, he says, Sherei im yishalu adam normali. If you ask a normal person, Shulay chosid deyachash, I'm not talking about someone who's crazy. As harei kol echad yanis shul yedeya shul nesharim kan la'olam. Every normal person will tell you that I know that I'm not going to live in this world forever. I know that we're here for a couple of years. Sheyarelam hazeh hurak ma'avar bilvad. I know that this world is just a passing point, just a time, and it's a short time that we're passing through. And I know that all of this world, which is such a short time, is to prepare us for the Olam HaEmes and for Yemei HaMashiach. Everybody will say that. Everybody knows that. Everybody will tell you that. In other words, what he's saying is that if you stop anybody, any uncle, in the middle of their running, and you say, what are you doing? What's the tachlis of your life? Do you think you're going to live here l'dor? Do you think this world is yours forever? So the person will say, absolutely not. I know this is just a passing phase. It's just a very short time. But the problem is that the hanhug of the person, the way that the person is acting, it would seem from the way that we act in this world, that what? It would appear that we're planning to settle down into this world for thousands of years. All the effort, all of the thoughts, all the koiches that go, let's say when it comes into the details, even when it comes to a simcha. I know that I have Baruch Hashem a home filled with girls, with women, so I've heard the word presentation. It's a very important thing how you present the food, not just how it tastes. I always thought it was that, but it became a very big thing, the presentation. And you can have people that they put a lot of koiches, and it's a nice thing because you want it to be nice, but they put a lot of koiches that this Rogala should be facing east. And this piece of Mrs. What's her name's cake, the lady? Ziegelman's cake. Something like that. This should face west. And that this flower arrangement, and how many times will happen to say, this looks like a nice place to me. No, this is not Shaykh, because this is, I'm not talking about marriage, she doesn't care. But this is facing this way, this is facing that way, and it's all in the presentation. And a person can think, but when it comes to things, let's say in halacha, when it comes to halacha, a person will say, oh, nafkin, what's the difference if I, so it's such a big difference if I wash like this, or I go like that. And it's such a big difference whether or not, somebody will say, when you wash for Nitil Sidain, what are you doing? What do you think this is, Mayim Achrayinim? You have to wash the whole hand. Okay, it's a nafkin in it. Whether I wash till here, I wash till here. But when it comes to this world, it looks like there's so many halachas and so many diukim, and everybody has to be so careful. And everybody's so worried that it should be just like this. And when it comes to pictures, let's say, from a simcha, so only be simcha, when it comes to pictures, so there's a whole malach in there, how to fix the picture up, that it should be just like this, that it's not even the mitzvah that was, that it should look like something that it wasn't, right? And the better the photographer, the more he's able to be malim, and to be master, and to be meshaker, the ilam, that it should look like something that it's not. And the whole in b'chlal, let's say, when it comes to makeup, is all a halom, it's all a sheker. And a person, there was a famous writer in the Middle Ages, he wrote a masterpiece describing a woman and the ceremony of getting herself ready to go out. And there's nothing wrong with that, but you would think, if you look at this person's behavior, when it comes to davening, when it comes to learning, when it comes to things that are really, really important in life, having a heart-to-heart talk with someone that you love, when it comes to chashuva things, so then it looks like it's just a passing moment. But when it comes to the things that are narishkeit, or that at best are things that are nice, but not that they deserve so much attention, so... And you know that I'm not from the anti-Gashmi's patrolman. I by the Chassidim Bechlal, everybody should enjoy and should have a gishmak and there's no problem and the food should be good and everybody should look good and everything should be nice. But we're not talking about that. What he's saying here is that there's this ha'alama, there's this confusion that even though anybody that you stop and you say, what are you standing here a half hour looking at the Rogalach? What are you looking at the regular for a half hour? At the end, it's all going to go either into the garbage, or it's going to go into a Jewish stomach. What are you looking? What are you spending all of this time? What's the nafkim in it? What's the chiluk? So the person will say, and you'll say, do you think that these regular are somehow going to be immortalized, or that this is part of Nitzchias? The person, what are you crazy? Of course, it's Narishkeit, it's just some Rogalach. But it looks like, the way the person's acting, you would think that it's something which is really the Dairis, that it makes a big difference, that it has some sort of deeper significance, that it has some sort of panemius. I said in Shult, it wasn't such a, I mean, you already see that I make a lot of mistakes, so I might as well admit the other mistakes. So there was an Orfer in Shul. I knew this chassan could take it, but I said over Maisa by the offer that I'm not really going to try to explain it. Just maybe you could tell it over to the chassanim and kallahs if you like. But the Maisa was that you all heard of the Rebbe of Naftali Rapshitzer. So the Rebbe of Naftali Rapshitzer would never ever be Masada Kedushin. He would not go under the chuppah. Unless the Chassan and Kala were crying. He wouldn't start the brachas until the chasen had already cried in the kala, and he was told that the kala had been crying. He wouldn't fear a chasen. It's a time of tshuva, it's a time of esiris. He wouldn't make the chasen. So it happened once that the Rebbe Naftali was at the chasen's tish, and you know there's a custom that was always but for a long time, still now you have some that are good at it, but it was an art in the old days. You'd have a batchan, somebody that was telling some jokes, but then he would say ready a spiel, and he would say things to be ma'ira the chasen to do tshuva, to get the chasen to think about doing tshuva before he goes under the chuppah. So the Naftali Rav, there was a ma'ase on the Naftali Rav, said that this chasen was like without emotions. They didn't know what to do with them. They had like the best batchan in town, getting up and saying stuff, and the chasen sitting there like just, you know, looking at him, not a tear. And it was already getting very late, and everybody's getting very nervous that it's time for the chuppah, and they're all waiting from the kala's side. She was already crying for an hour on her side, and they're waiting for the chasen. The chasen's just, they can't get a tear from him. And Rabbi Naftali Rav just says, I'm not going under the chuppah with this guy. There's nothing to talk about. And it's already late at night. And the chasen is just sitting in this poor, they're trying different people to get up and say things to him. And he's not crying. So finally the Rebbe Naftali Rav Shusha himself jumps on the table. And he was known as a famous Batchan also. He jumps on the table Naftali, and he said like this, that there was a male deer and a female deer. I forgot what they call them. I know in the song that is the name for them. They were a female deer, something like that, right? So they met in the forest, and they fell in love. So they fell in love, and they're walking for a little bit in the forest. Mamish in love, these two deers. And there's a commotion. There's a commotion in the distance, and the kala, the female deer, is anxious to see, oh, what's going on over there? There's like something going on. You know, is interested to see. And the male deer, the chasen, Rav Naftali says, the chasen knew that was a hunter with the dogs. So she's like enthralled, and she wants to see, oh, what's going on over here? And the male deer says, listen, right now, he says, if we don't run and make it through this forest quickly, the next place we're going to see each other is on the hunter's wall. Like next to each other on the hunter's wall, the two heads like mounted on the hunter's wall. Let's quickly make it through the forest. And Rav Naftali said this, and the chasen was starting to shake, and then the chasen burst out crying, and Rav Naftali said, let's go. Let's go to the chuppah. And that's how they went to the chuppah. Now, whether or not the chasan makalas nowadays would cry from such a ma'aseh, and what did Rav Naftali mean b'chlal? Rav Naftali was talking about this world and being a forest, and it's perfectly fine to be in love, but don't get distracted from the tachlis of why we're here, because if you get distracted, chalila, there are hunters that are after you, and you could end up, the world ends very quickly, you end up being mounted on some wall, and the tachlis can't be forgotten. So he says, after Tesvav on top, over Friday, he says, Kol Shem Iskarvim Yosel Mashiach. And especially the closer we get, he says, to the days of Mashiach. Umizgaber HaGolus Edom. And as we get closer to Mashiach, the Golus, the last exile of Edom, is getting stronger and stronger. Umizgaber Yoyser Zeha Yetzer. This Yetzer becomes stronger. And what's the Yetzer? So look, I'm sorry about this going back and forth, but a test line on the bottom. He says, V'uchoyder v'nichnas yetzer amok v'yotzer amok. This yetzer is able to penetrate deeper and deeper. V'hu mefate es ha'adam yetzer v'yotzer, and it tricks us and confuses us and seduces us more and more. She'yase kviyiz chazoke minyonim sh'arai mamish. To make a kviyiz, to make something choshev, to make something permanent and significant out of something which is a passing thing, which is something which is temporary. But to take that which is passing and make it into something, to give it, to think that it's something which is forever. And that's back on top. That's the golus of Edom after Tazayin. Shagolus Edom ve'esav ha'akorach shol sheker. That's the golus of Edom of Esav, which is the golus of the karech of sheker, of falsehood. K'mayim ha'chazal al-esav. That's what Chazal say about the name Esav. Shuloshen, Miloshen, Shov. Chazal say that the word Esav is connected to the word Shov. Shov means what? It means a shek, it means a lie. It means a delusion. Shimlos and Shav. Dashav Shibirasi Bailami. Chazal say about Esav. That Esav is a lashon of Shav. And Shav means this is the lie. The lie that I created in the world. Shuloshan Sheker, Shekoich Elefatas B'Yosel Lesheker. That's the koich before Mashiach comes of Esav of Edom. To mislead and to distract and to confuse. Ulechitzainius, to become obsessed with external things. Vishlonichiem ha'emes v'ha'pnimius, that we don't live with the truth and the pnimius that a person lives with. If chas v'sholem, it comes to a time in life when you're afraid, when there's someone that you love that's not well, when you're worried about someone, when there's something that you're so worried about, and all of a sudden at that moment you realize that everything else is so silly. What was I worried about yesterday? What was I worried about? What was I thinking about for the last 20 years of my life? And that all that matters to me, all that matters to me is the emes, is the truth. But there's such a koyach of ha'alama, of esav, of sheker, that you don't realize how precious something is until you feel that chas v'shalom is in danger of being lost. You don't even realize how important it is to you. And this is the yetzer, to shelo nichyem ha'emes v'ha'pnimius, not to live with truth, not to live with pnimius. The Gemara points out, the Gemara says in Brachos, that it's interesting. When you look at the earlier generations, those were people, the main part of their lives was learning, was Torah. And work, parnasa, was aroi. Was something which was less important. Zev v'zen is kaima b'yadam, and if you see in the earlier days, they were great in learning, and they also made a parnas. V'achron, the Gemara says, but now in our generation, shoyisim teros naroi, where the Torah is aroi, the Torah is temporary. That's what aroi really means. Umalachtan keva, but work is keva. Zev is elon, this kind of biyodin. They're not matzliach in learning, and they're not matzliach, and the parnas of the malach also doesn't last. Now, what does that mean? So he explains. Shekamish miskarven yisol derasachon, because it's interesting. Never have there been people who have been able to have as much time to learn Torah as in our time. It's Baruch Hashem. We're living at a time with chazdei Hashem. Even people who are not by any means brilliant, regular guys, can sit and learn. We have the luxury, even high school, that they didn't have. Our Zaydis, our grandfathers weren't able to learn in yeshiva until they were 18, 19, 20. Forget about 21, 22, 23, 24. What if you'd have asked somebody 50, 60 years ago, you know, after they're married, you're going to be in Kailal, he wouldn't know what you were even talking about. What does that mean? It's an unbelievable luxury that we have. Never have there been as many people learning Torah as you have nowadays. Baruch Hashem. The yeshivas, Kanai Nahara, are filled. And people are able to sit and to learn without worrying. It's not like it was in the old days. You know, when you said goodbye to somebody, you read stories about people, especially in Lithuania, where we had yeshivas in different villages, where you'd have a boy that would go away and the parents wouldn't see him for 2-3 years. Wouldn't see him. Even when I went to Israel as a kid to yeshiva, we only called for Pesach, and my father said, okay, it's long distance, we're on like for 10 seconds. What was the, you know, like, it's, so never has there been as much opportunity to learn. That's number one. Number two, look how even simple people who in the old days would have no access to learning, now, Baruch Hashem, you can go into a Svarim store, there are thousands of Svarim in English. Thousands of Svarim in English. Everybody can learn. Everybody can learn. In the old days, it was very hard. They had a few svarim in Yiddish. They had Sanarena, they had a little bit, a sefer here and there that was with Yiddish types. Mostly, unless you were someone that was privileged and that was fortunate, you couldn't sit. You weren't sitting and learning. And yet, the Gemara says that in the old days, Torah was what? Was kavua. Was keva, and the parnasa was aroi. What do you mean? The hours that we work now are much less than the hours that people had to work in the old days. We have Baruch Hashem, especially in America, there's more time off. It's hard, but there's more time off than our Zaydis had. And as far as our bodies are concerned, what's the question? Now a person can go to the store and can buy in the supermarket. In the old days, everything was from scratch, with tremendous hachanas. And yet, isn't it becoming increasingly difficult to produce Rav Moshe Feinsteins and Rav Aaron Cutlers? We are the Rav Moshe Feinsteins. Not to say there aren't some fine Talmid Chacham that are coming out of the yeshiva world, but you would think that Kanai Nahara, that with thousands and thousands of young men in Bnei Brak, especially in Yerushalayim, in all different places in Golis as well, that have the opportunity to sit and learn until they're 25, 26, 30 years old, you would think there would be armies of Rav Moshe Feinsteins being produced. And it's becoming harder and harder to produce a Rav Moshe. You don't see Rav Moshe nowadays. Why is that? So he explains. In the generations, in the Doris HaChronim, is Zevazol and Iskana B'Yodam. Obviously, it doesn't just have to do with how many guys are in yeshiva, or how many hours are spent in the yeshiva. He says, Shekamashim Iskavin Yeshla Doris HaChronim. As we get to the later generation, the end of time, Yesh Yoyser Yetzer Lasas Keva Chazak Midvarm Shalarai Mamish. There's a strong Yetzahara to take something which is Arai Mamish, something which is just passing it, to make it into something which is very, very important in Chashuv. Ubisvasemis. Now, how does that fit into this Gemara? Listen how beautiful this is. Ubisvasemis, the Svasemis explains. Ubisvasemis Bir. De Ein HaKavon B'Malachton Rakin Yoni Parnasa. The Sfasem has explained that the Gemara, when it talks about Malacha, is not just talking about going to work. It's true, they used to talk about work more in the old days. Rak kol inyoni hagashmius. The problem is like this. If you went back to that generation of Rav Moshe Feinstein, and I mentioned this once here in the past, that my father told me that the first time that he ever saw, he thought it was the funniest thing, he thought it was the oddest thing, when he came to America, he arrived in America, my father, after the war, on a Friday. And he went, he had a relative that lived, that was here from before the war, on the west side of Manhattan. And he went to the west side, and he went Shabbos to a Bis Medrash. He went to Davin. And when he came to the Bis Medrash, he said he saw something he never saw in his life. He saw in the Bis Medrash that people were sitting on chairs. He never saw it in his life. He said, wherever he was in Europe, they only had benches. Only the Rav had a chair. Everybody else sat on a bench. And then he heard them talking and learning in a different language that he never heard anybody learning except in Yiddish. But he remembered that it struck him as so odd. Like, what kind of a rich country? What kind of a place is this? People, everybody has like their own little malchus. Now, could you imagine if you would come to yeshiva and if the air conditioner wouldn't be working, or if they'd have to sit on a bench and it wouldn't have just the right, talk about the raglach, it wouldn't have just, you have to have like perfect, it has to be, you know, 69.5 degrees, and it has to be, the chair has to be just a certain kind of texture, not with everybody. The ones that are going to come out to be the big time in the chum, there's no nafkim in it, with a chair, whether it's a bench. They'll manage to learn on the street also, and by a candle. But what he's saying is that in the old generations, when it says that the Torah was permanent and the Malacha was temporary, the Sfasema says, it's not talking about just going to work. It's talking about values and priorities. What does that mean? Kol in Yoni Gashmius. Kol hadvarm shetzrichim l'sadeh b'zehoilam. When it came to things of this world, when it came to the things that you have of this world, that's called Malachtam. The what? The Kamisha Magisha, next page. Shakol Aroi Mamish. Shakol Aroi Mamish. That everything of this world, in Rav Moshe's generation, which is not a long time ago, the things that we think now are so important were not important. Rav Moshe did not have to have those conditions in order to learn. Rav Moshe was able to learn. And I heard from someone that was in the same town. I was there to learn with an old Jew who was actually Rav Moshe Feinstein's age. He died some years ago. Who remembers, he says, the Feinstein brothers. He remembers the Feinstein brothers. That whenever he looked out from his window, no matter what time it was at night, he saw the Feinstein brothers. That they were sitting by the candle. And they were learning. No matter what time. By Rav Moshe, by that generation, the point of Malach, they had to work hard. And you know something? My father told me that his father, my grandfather, belonged to a Chevra Shas. What was the Chevra Shas? These were people who worked 14, 15, 16 hours a day. And when they came afterwards they would come home and they'd have something to eat, and they would daven ma'arav and they would learn. And my father said that this chevra shas that my grandfather was in went through shas already many times. They were together the same people, 30, 40, 50 years. And they went through shas together in such a way. And these were Bali Malacha. You meet sometimes, you can meet an old European Jew that he could put to shame 90% of the guys in Kolo that are sitting and learning now day and night. He could put to shame. And if you ask him, oh, where did you go to Kolo? He says, Kolo? What do you mean Kolo? I worked 14 hours a day. What kind of Kolo? I learned in yeshiva until I was 15 and then I was working. Wow. How come you know so much? How do you know? So it's not because Jews are smarter than they're smarter now. Jews are Jews, Baruch Hashem. The Torah says we're an Am Chacham, we're an intelligent people. But the Chilik is, what the Sfasemis is saying, is that those Jews, our fathers, our grandfathers, this world, when you read about what was in the Mir Yeshiva, what was in those days, there's in our Mishpacha, we have someone, his father, learned in the Mir back in those days. And I made the mistake of asking him recently, so like, what did you see by the Gedolim where you were? So he made such a look, he gave me such a look like of disdain. Oh, Gedolim. In America, you want to live a Gedolim. He started to make fun of me. And I said, you saw the Chavetz Chaim, you saw. And he said, he didn't want to even talk to me. So then, you know, he said to me, he said, listen to me. Like, you know, you little pipsqueak. He said, let me tell you something. You know, he said, you know, when we went to the Mir, when I was in the Mir, I didn't go there to look for Gedolim stories. He said, I didn't go there to look for miracles. You know what I went for? He says, I and my friends, we went shopping. We went with our hands open, our arms were shopping mazes to get shas, to learn Torah. That's what we went for. Not to get maisalach. That's what we went for. Not for Gedolim stories. So he says, yeah, I sat at the same table with Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. You want to ask me Gedolim stories, Reb Chaim? I can't tell. I can tell you Torah that he said. But don't ask me for maisim. That's an American thing, he said. It was a different mahalach. It was a different way of looking at what's important and what's not important. Of what's chashuv, what's not chashuv. So it's true. There were Jews in the old days, he says, that when it came to things of this world and the comforts of this world, it was adavar aroi mamish. It wasn't anything that this world wasn't chashuv to them. What was kavur in their lives, yeah, maybe they only had an hour and a half to learn a day. Maybe they only had an hour and a half, but the hour and a half was with their kishkes. Maybe they only had 45 minutes to daven. But they came to daven. Every time there's an altar yid that's here in the bungalow, or I see in shul, wherever you go, there's an altar yid, they're here 15 minutes before davening starts. Go look and see. Whenever we're zeichet to have a grandfather, anywhere, whether it's in shul or in the mountains, when there's a grandfather, a zeidah, 15 minutes earlier. So then you tell somebody, young person says, well, it's Akasha, you can't sleep. You can't sleep on that, but they're waiting. They're sitting by the looking for it. Shachar, especially. What kind of a thing is it? Daven Shachar is 8 o'clock. My father, 8 o'clock is already afternoon. And when it comes to young people, you can kvetch and decry to get them. They should come at 8 o'clock in the morning. What am I going to do? Gevalt. I can't make it. And an Alta Yid will be there, not because he can't sleep. You know why? Because it's the most precious thing in his life is to sit. Now my father's on Gazon Zion. There's nothing that's more precious to him than going to shul. He starts to make hachanis for mincha half hour before mincha, with a jacket and with his little cap and with different things. And he tells, he says, my mother talks to me, honey, honey, I have to go to shul. It's 20 minutes before half hour, and they live across the street. My parents in the shul across the street. It's because it wasn't our roy, it wasn't our mincha chata mincha marv. It was who they were. It was a davar kavua by them. You have an hour to learn. My father hears a vart. He tells me if you heard Shabbos a vart, he'll go the whole week with the vart. He'll talk about the vart. There was a yid that came to the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Schusi Agenelenu. The Lubavitcher Rebbe hadn't seen this Jew in 70 years. Now this Jew didn't get out of communist Russia. The Rebbe, as you know, was fortunate to make it out. This Jew sat with the communists, you know, like these tzaddikim, they were keeping Yiddishkeit, who knows how, with mesiras nefesh. So he finally got out of all of that, and he came to Crown Heights, and he went and he saw the Rebbe. They were together in Cheder. So two things I read that happened. First of all, the Rebbe said to him, I have another terrorist for the Kashi you asked me. 70 years before, when they last saw each other, he asked the Rebbe a certain question, and the Rebbe said, I have another answer for the question you asked. And he didn't know, what are you talking about? He reminded him of that kash. Then the second thing, the Rebbe asked him, he says, whatever, Yankele, How did you make it through that? Tell me, what did you? How were you mechai yourself? You know, everybody has to have chiyus. You have to live for something. He lived under the communists for all those years. How did you live? So he said to the Rebbe, he said, I live from a vart that I heard from the Rebbe Rashab. Before the Lubavitcher Rebbe was his father-in-law, the Rayatz. Before the Rayatz was the Rebbe Abshalom there. So Abshalom, this Yid was so old, he remembers yet, he heard a vart from the Rashab, for Abshalom Beer. One vart! And that one vart, he said that every single day, and when he went through different kinds of service and darkness and camps, and he lost his family, whatever he went through, he held on to that vart. He held on to that vart. Now they throw like they throw parsha pages on the tables like this. You meet an Alta Yid, and Alta Yid will tell you a good vart. And that vart is mechayim the whole week. You know why? Because it's kavua. Because it's most precious to him. It means more than anything in the world to him. Any kind of comes to things of this world, even though it's true. My father, most of his life, he was working also 16, 17 hours. But that was never what was the important thing to him. And we never felt that as children. The children nowadays feel, even though the father might work half that amount of hours, that work is much more chashev to him than me. The work is more chashev than the kids. Work is more chashev than mommy. Work is more chashev than davening. Work is more chashev than learning. And it's a pella, because in the old days the fathers worked longer hours. Not all, but many of them. Worked harder, longer. And yet, you felt that your father was yours. Your father was yours. He belonged to you. He was kavur. You felt that your mother was mamish. Your mother was with you. The labor of a nefesh every single second of the day. And now it's much harder to feel that. For the children, that they feel that their parents are like aroi, not kavur. The parents are like a passing thing in my life. The home, it doesn't have that feeling of kvius. There are many, many reasons for that. Many, many reasons. It's not just this. But the hashkafa is a different hashkafa. That's what the Sfasama says. In the earlier generations, the Torah was what? Kavua. And the malacha was temporary. So Sfasama says, it doesn't mean parnasa and time in yeshiva. It means what's kavua in your heart. What's your priority? What's most important to you? What do you care about? What do you dream about? Who are you? That's what he says. V'atorkelish avodis Hashem zeha keva zeha iker kach matzlichim b'kol. That's how you produce Rav Moshe Feinstein's. Kach matzlichim b'kol. Then there's a hatzlocha. Then you see a hatzlocha. Ubisvasem schusay on kosov the keva v'aroi einarak kamazman miachadim zeh. You see, the Sfasem is telling us that when the Gemara tells us keva and aroi, which usually means permanent and temporary, the Sfasem says it doesn't just mean hours and minutes. Rock what? So look in Yud Zayin underneath. Kamazet treifes umemale umatrit esamoyach. Kavua means how much does something preoccupy your thoughts? That's called kavua. How much are you thinking about it? How much does it mean to you? That's called keva. Kama ze teifis umali umatri de samoyach, v'keitzad kol ha'oifun shenigoshim el kol hadvarim eila. And how do you approach everything in life? How do you approach everything in life? If the children can see that a child can see, you could have a boy that sees that his father spends taket on Shabbos, he spends 2 hours there in the morning, and he spends an hour there in the afternoon. But he might not see that the davening is something which is kavua in him. He might not see that it's something which is very, very choshuv. It's kavua. And that when it comes to things of this world, the things of this world are right, that they don't make that much of a difference. They don't make that much of a difference. But what happens if someone hears that when it comes to business, when it comes to a ball game, that the olam is getting all excited, and when it comes to a shtickle tire, that it's not so important? So then that's the question. The question is of priorities. What's keva and what's aroi? That's what the Sfasem is explaining. How much do you give into it? How much do you pour into something? How precious is it to you? Avraham Avinu Olav Shalom back on top. Let's finish this paragraph. Avraham Avinu Olav Shalom Ra'ah Kol Ha'olam Shul Bechina Shal Bir Dalekes. So it says that Avraham Avinu, we know that Avraham Avinu did not come from a good home. But Avraham Avinu was wondering, he was wondering about the world, thinking, what's the tachlis? And it says that he saw, you remember it says in the Medrash, he saw a bir dalekes, he saw that there was a fire, and he was wondering, who's the Baal Habira? Who's the Baal Abbas? V'isim tzaddikim d'nechla b'zeh. Yud chasin down in Yonei Olam Hazeh. Sarfim u'machal l'mamish. What does it mean that he saw that the world was on fire, and he began to wonder, who's the Baal Habira? So he explains that it means that in Yonei, the Sfarim say, in Yonei Olam Hazeh, Sarfim u'machal l'mamish, he saw that the nature of things of this world is that this world and the confusion and the darkness and the halama, the concealment of this world, is so strong that it could burn away what's important to you. It burns and destroys that which is important to you. It could destroy your life, mamish. It could burn away what's important to you. Kishoch alof in the back on top. Kishoch alof. No, you test down below also. Shekol in yoni hatava him soich u'moishchim pnima. The nature of the things of this world is that they schlep you and they drag you. The toicham to get involved in things of this world. That's why teva, the word teva, which means nature, is from the word tovei, which means to drown, because it's the easiest thing to drown in this world. And you have to be very, very, very careful. Now on top of you test. Kishach alof nafshenu, dovkalarz bitnenu, it says in the Navi, the Yetzirah shleptun zarein, and kolmenei kitnes v'shiflis. The nature of the Yetzirah is that it schleps into all kinds of smallness, into all kinds of pettiness. L'kol yachid v'yachid mefata b'dvar machem. Each person is being deluded by different things. B'chol gil at different ages. B'chol tkufa in every period. B'chol matziv in other all circumstances. U'moshech, so an andirisart kitnes v'shiflis. It drags you into different types of silliness and smallness. However, what they all have in common is things that are mamish, what they all share in common, is something that's mamish, nothing. And it's silly, it's insignificant. And it's passing. They take over our brains and they preoccupy our minds. Then yimalu v'yatridlonus hamarech v'saleiv, and our minds and our hearts become what? Become completely, completely filled with these things. V'sazman hayoker hayokers, and our precious time is wasted on these things. Back on top. V'zen nechlal b'divrei Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh hayiduim al mayim chazal, and this is what the Baal Shem Tov taught about. There's a famous teaching of the Baal Shem Tov. The Gemara is talking about the 39 malachas of Shabbos. And one of the 39 malachas is called Shaychit, which means you're not allowed to slaughter an animal on Shabbos, right? That's called Shchita, Shaychit. So the Gemara asks, Shaychit Mishum Mai Mechayiv. The Gemara asks, why is a person Chayiv al Shaychit? When you shecht an animal, so one view of the Gemara says, why are you Chayiv when you shecht an animal on Shabbos? Why are you in trouble? So one opinion says, Mishum Tzaveya. So that, not to get into the halacha, but the Gemara is talking there about, it might be a problem of dying, not killing, but coloring, because when the shaychet shechs, so then the redness of the blood fills that place, and everything is colored with a dark red. So one view, the Gemara says that there's a problem of shechita that's called saveya. So the Baal Shem Tov explained that in a deeper way. It says like this: Shakavoni hela yetzer. It's talking about the yetzer. Sheikah kaychu humashit saveya. You understand what the Baal Shem Tov says? You know, the word saveya means to paint. It means to color something. So the Baal Shem Tov said, you know what's the greatest, you know what causes the greatest shechita in our lives? What's the most destructive force in our lives? Saveh means when something is colored. Colored means when something is painted to look other than what it really is. That's why the word in Hebrew for a hypocrite is savua. A savua, somebody who's savua, in Eretz Yisrael, it's a very big insult to say somebody is a savua. It means a hypocrite. A hypocrite means what it means. It means you're claiming to be one thing, but you're really something else. Or you're painting a different picture of who you really are. Even in English, they say you're painting a different picture. That's not who you really are. The Baal Shem Tov said, you know what shechita that causes in the world? Saveya. Saveya means that you look at the world and it's painted in a way that you don't get. You just don't get it. That's why he says, it takes things that are silly, that are passing, that are narishkeit, that have no lasting effect upon your life, and it will paint it. And it will give you the impression And you look at it and you think that this is something which is so important. This is something which I have to think about and worry about. And that's why we learned, as we learned last week, that the meaning of Avraham Avinu was Lech Lecha Me'artzecha. That the first thing that the Baruch Shalom told the Jew was Lech Lecha, was to go out of all of that, to go out of that, Me'artzecha, Me'ulantecha, Me'besavicha, from those things that you think are so important. Especially when it comes to Mibes Avicha. When it comes to Mibes Avicha, we grow up, you know, very much, a person is very much influenced by the way that they're brought up and the things that we saw as children. And sometimes the thing that it's very hard for an adult to say, you know, just because I thought this was important for 40, 50 years doesn't mean it's really important. And it's very hard to let go. It's very hard to let go because if it was, you know, in your house this was so important. And you grew up in a place this was so important. And now you have to come to terms with that and say, maybe it's not as important as I thought it was. It's very hard. It's very, very hard. That's what it means, Lech Lecha Mibes Avicha. And it's a big new sign for each and every one of us to be mekayim this mitzvah of Lech Lecha Mibes Avicha. Hashem's book should help that we should be zeichet to work on this. And we're going to go into many more pratim about how to be able to overcome this need of being makbid in other people and having all kinds of hakpadis and being able to rise above the hakpadis and to be down the kafsos. We'll continue mitzvah next week.